And I would encourage you also to leave an offering as you attempt to make an appointment and a connection with Martin. I'm sure they will also accept a love offering in regards to any ministry that they would provide. So, well, in this final session, I'm really looking forward to the culmination of this week and the words that we've heard. The word has been very, very fresh, very timely for every person in the room. I haven't talked with a single person who has said, that's out of sync with where I'm at. We're clearly in a season here in Evansville and in the region, and I'm assuming in the greater body of Christ, where the Lord is doing some amazing things. And we're honored to have John Hamill with us. Come on up, John. And John and Jolene are fresh back from Israel, and I know that the anointing is strong when you come back from Israel. They told us when we were there that you don't go and change Israel; Israel changes you. And I've certainly found that to be true. So, Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing and favor would continue on John, and that you would strengthen him to speak your word tonight, that you would give him courage and boldness to say the things that we need to hear, and God, that you would bring everything to his remembrance that you have given him to speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Bill, are you sure everything? You want everything he brings to remembrance? Remember, I'm a Paul Revere, and he really didn't get rolling till midnight, right? That's fine with me. If you guys are ready to hang out and have a midnight watch for the bridegroom's return, we can do that. Well, there's a few that remained awake. The faithful remained awake, see? It would just do my heart good if we could stand to our feet and let's shout to the Lord. I think there's been kind of a sound barrier that needs to be broken. And so don't whisper to the Lord. Make your voice a human shofar. And let's just shout to the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Jesus! Okay, that feels better. And let's just make one declaration that has been so resonant through this time. Can we declare together, no king but Jesus? What are you waiting for? Jana, go ahead and lead us.
No king but Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm so excited tonight to be with you here in Evansville, Indiana. I want to let you know that my first job was in Kokomo, Indiana. As a newspaper photojournalist, had an internship at the Indianapolis Star. And then from there, people in Kokomo would read the Indianapolis Star, and they'd see my pictures as an intern, and I got a call one day asking if I'd like to join the staff, and I said no, and then I prayed about it, and the Lord kind of said yes, and so my first job was in the state of Indiana as a Hoosier, and in fact, my son and daughter were both born in Indiana. Now, just as a preference, Jolene is my dream come true. I was actually married before to a very dear woman, but a very broken woman, who in her brokenness due to childhood abuse that she just couldn't really gain a healing from, she walked out a cycle of unfaithfulness. Every couple of years, our family would blow up. And I actually learned about God's heart as a bridegroom for his bride by becoming Hosea. And so for me, the Hoosier State was really the Hosea State. It was the beginning of a very challenging journey, but a journey into the heart of God that has forever marked me in my understanding of even how he feels about the nation. And a journey that began in Kokomo, Indiana. Kokomo is known as a place of incredible prosperity, champagne budgets, but beer tastes, if you will, ended and culminated at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, just as I was helping to lead the Israel Watch, the Israel Mandate. My marriage broke apart for the third time. And this time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that I was to let go, and if I tried to repair the relationship, I would actually be in idolatry. My former wife had chosen, she didn't want to be a wife anymore. She did not want to be a mother anymore. And at the time, I was an intercessory missionary. I had given up my photojournalism career and my graphic design career and given myself to the Lord full-time as one of the first intercessory missionaries at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And I was just beginning to make the conference circuit. Ministry words were being sent on the Elijah list to America and to the nations, when all of a sudden this extraordinary sabotage happened. It actually happened while I was away at a conference in New England, my hometown, my region, and I came back and I just felt something was amiss, and I picked up, you remember we used to have phones, and you can hit redial on those phones, and so I hit redial on a phone, and it went to this seedy motel outside of Kansas City, and just a little bit of scratching the surface revealed that everything that I had lived for and given my life for was suddenly coming to a close. And I was still part of the IHOP staff, but I was a little too ashamed of what was going on to pray at IHOP. So I would go out to Shiloh, a little place called Shiloh or Shiloh. It was a lake, a wooded area with a beautiful pond, and I would just go and walk and pray at Shiloh and seek the face of God for what the future was going to hold, because as an intercessory missionary making $500 a month, I couldn't raise my family. I couldn't raise my two beautiful Hoosier-born kids. And I was really just at a crossroads. And at that point, I had a dear friend in my life. He's still a great friend. His name was Will Ford. I don't know if anybody of you have ever heard of Will Ford, but he's about a 6'12" African-American brother. 6'12", you know, like 7 feet. Just want to see if you're paying any kind of attention whatsoever to my ramblings here. And he and I would pray every day while I was out at Shiloh or Shiloh. I call it Shiloh because that's really how the Hebrew people, the Jews, call Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where the Ark of the Covenant first rested. And then because of the disobedience of the priests of God, the Lord sent the ark into captivity from Shiloh. David restored the Ark of the Covenant and put it in Jerusalem. So Shiloh became a place of encounter for me. And there was this one time I was talking with Will, and I was really wrestling, because was there still a part of God's heart as a bridegroom where he wanted me to repair the relationship, and he's just wanting me to make the choice? And Will was just really firm with me. He said, John, the choice has already been made, and for you to continue to hold on to this, it would be disobedience. You've got to trust God. He's got a new beginning for you. And my friend Will really literally helped to pray me through. He's one of the finest ministers in the nation today. And I was really honored to be a recipient of his prayers during this time of hardship. How many of you know sometimes the prayer movement is costly? Sometimes circumstances beyond our control seem to envelop us. And we were just moving forward. I had spent a year of intercession with my friend Jim Mayer for this Israel mandate, praying for Israel. And folks had warned me that the warfare was going to be intense and we were dealing with stuff. But this was totally unanticipated. We thought we had come to a point of healing where none of this would ever touch my life again. And my kids could be raised in wholeness. And so I was at a very strong crisis point in my life. I had talked to Will, and I just walked around the pond out there at Shiloh. And all of a sudden, I experienced a prophetic encounter. An encounter with the Lord. It wasn't one of those ones where my eyes were closed and I was seeing an interior vision. This actually happened with eyes wide open. I saw a threshold. It literally looked like a broomstick or something made of wood right in front of me. And then I looked to my left, and my former wife was on my left-hand side. And I looked to my right, and there was a beautiful brunette woman with a beautiful wedding dress on. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, take the hand of your new bride and cross the threshold into your new season. And so I stretched out my hand to what to anybody else would be this invisible space. But in this visionary experience, I've never had one like this before, and I've only had one or two since. I literally saw my new bride. Now, this is before I moved to Frederick. I'll get into that. I did not know Jolene in any way, shape, or form at the time, but I literally saw Jolene in the spirit. I don't know how this all works, but the Lord said, take the hand of your new bride and step across the threshold into your new season. And I stepped across the threshold and I looked to my left. And as I did, I saw my former wife go down into a fetal position. And I didn't know what else to do. So I just began to worship and thank God for the future that he has and whatever it holds. And as I began to worship, all of a sudden, there was just like this lightning coming from the ground up, a swirl, and I saw angelic hosts shoot up from the earth into heaven, and I heard the voice of the Lord declare, court of heaven adjourned. Now, that's quite a prophetic experience. And I go overboard when it comes to accountability. And this one really freaked me out. So the first thing I did, I go back to my car and I call Will on the phone. I was like, Will, this just sounds really crazy. I don't know. I don't understand what just happened to me, but I had this, and it might have been that I just had too much coffee before I got here. Or maybe I'm just emotionally drawn and this was something that my inner consciousness made up or something. It could really be that, but I just want to let you know I had what I felt was a real prophetic experience where I had to let go of the hand of my former bride, take the hand of my new bride, and cross the threshold into my new season. And Will, God bless Will Ford, he just laughed at me. Hamill, I told you that God's got a new day for you and for your kids. Okay. That was the first time I'd ever really heard the phrase court of heaven. I didn't really understand it, but I realized that this was the justice of God, and God had dropped a plumb line in my life. And from that time forward, if I were to go back to this situation and try and force my former wife to enter in again to this relationship, I knew she was going to suffer loss eventually. I knew she was going to experience hardship. But there was no way for me to pull her across that threshold. I had to let go. I feel like we are in a similar season. And when I saw Joe with the Indiana Hoosiers shirt on, I saw the word Hosea superimposed on it. Hosea. That to some extent, Indiana is even a Hosea state. And the scripture that the Lord gave as I began to pray earlier tonight fits right into this. He gave me the passage in Hosea 2 that talks about the valley of Achor, or weeping, being a door of hope. A door of hope. And I believe that this house of prayer is called to be a door of hope to Hosea's bride. You remember the journey of the bride of Christ as pictured in Hosea, where Hosea's bride believes that God is more of a taskmaster than this lover that is trying to allure her. These rules, these regulations, these things that are going on here, they're constricting you. You are not experiencing the fullness of the pleasures of life, of the provisions of life. And this lover named Baal, the name Baal means harsh taskmaster. He's masquerading as a bridegroom, and he's trying to seduce Hosea's bride to come out of relationship with him and into relationship with Baal. I can provide you more pleasure. I can provide you more income. I've got more influence. You remember back when you took those pills, how good it made you feel? Well, I've got plenty, a great supply of that for you. Just bow your knee to me and all this can be yours. And Hosea's bride enters into this relationship with a false bridegroom, a masquerading taskmaster, slave master. And by the time she realizes what's really going on in this relationship, she realizes that the thing she thought was going to set her free were actually bringing her into greater bondage. And she came to that point where she realized that, you know what? I am so in bondage now, only Jesus can set me free. And at that point, she turns back to her bridegroom, and Jesus turns to her, brings her into a wilderness season, allures her. She begins to sing the songs that she sang at first. And he provides the valley of weeping as a door of hope. And I believe that the extraordinary move of the Spirit of God that is prophesied for this region, a move of deliverance, a move of freedom, a move of worship, a move of presence, is going to literally bring Hosea's bride on a national level through the gateway of hope and into a new season of restoration. Amen. Beloved, covenant with God and in Him, covenant with each other, is being targeted by the enemy. Do not fall for shut from your life. He's got a way through. Don't believe the lies of seduction that are trying to pull you away from God's covenant expression for your life. And beloved, that is inclusive of the house of prayer. My friend James Gall prophesied to me that I should return to the East Coast because there's a specific anointing for me in the East Coast. And so, with two kids in tow, I moved back to the East Coast to my father's house at the age of 37. I felt like everything I'd lived for just became a seed in the ground. I don't know if any of you have ever been there, but what I didn't realize is that everything I thought I had lost, the Lord was about to restore a double portion of. James had prophesied that I should return to my father's house, and my father had just lost my mom to cancer, so it was a very difficult season of my life. And it was not a lot of fun living with my dad at the time, who was devastated, with two devastated guys not really knowing what to do with our future. But I thank God for every moment I had with my dad at that time. He became very precious in my life and is still to this day very precious in my life in a way that our relationship hadn't been in a long time. I went to church at the church that my friend James Gall sent me to. And the guy who greeted me at the door, the usher, you know how like Joe likes to greet people at the door. He greeted us with a shofar last year this time. He had heard about me and knew that I had skills in graphic design and photography. And he needed a graphic designer and a photographer for a contract that he was bidding on for the Department of Homeland Security. The guy who opened the door for me at church, the usher, started this conversation with me. Would you be interested? And I thought for about half a second, yeah, I'd be interested, right? And the contract came through. I ended up making about three times the amount of money that I had ever made before in my life. Suddenly, I was able to provide for my kids in a way that I hadn't ever been able to provide for them before. A second crazy thing that happened, I was on the front row. Not front row, I was trying to hide myself, so I was kind of in back a little bit. But the pastors, James Gall had talked to the pastors, and they knew all about me. And so they grabbed some guy that was also 6'12", but he's a white guy, big goatee, kind of scary looking if you just look at the muscle mass there. Martin Frankina. Martin comes over to me, stand up. Martin comes over to me and says, well, can I pray for you? And I think Pastor Paul put him up to it. He said, can I pray for you? And I'm like, well, I do need prayer, so absolutely. I have no idea who you are, and you look like you're about to beat me up, but why not? And so he stands back at a distance, and he takes his hand, And he goes like this. And when he gets right about to the place of my heart, he goes, "Oh, Lord, oh, ow, oh, Lord, ow." I didn't mean to hurt you. Really, I didn't. But he was feeling an expression of the pain in my own heart. The man didn't know me from Adam. And he asked if he could put his hand on my heart, and they began to pray. And all of a sudden, something lifted. You did wonderful. A wonderful rendition of me. Thank you very much, Bill. And we got to be friends, and Martin began to bring me through just in a relational way, but then very intensively for a few weeks. He brought me into healing and deliverance from generational bondages and present bondages. And there came a point in that time where a force I felt had been strangling me. And I had felt that ever since I was a little kid. I actually learned to pray by like praying in tongues until that thing lifted a little bit. But all of a sudden, that thing lifted and never returned. And I felt like I took my first breath. Hopefully some of you who have received some of this ministry from Martin have experienced a similar experience. It's life-changing. The third really strange occurrence came when my pastors invited me to the church picnic. Have you guys ever been in a difficult situation where the last thing you want to do is go to church or go to the house of prayer, and then the real last thing you want to do is to go to a church picnic and socialize with people? You're the new kid on the block. They all know you, and you don't know them at all. So I'm like, I really don't want to. But my kids heard the invitation, and they're like, "Daddy, Daddy, can we go?" And I knew that my kids needed friends who knew Jesus. So I decided to show up at the church picnic. And I had already resolved the way I was going to hang out at the church picnic was the way I used to hang out at some of the parties that I went to in high school. I went to, back in the 80s, a high school in Columbia, Maryland that was mixed. A lot of black folks, a few Asians, a lot of white folks. And the best parties were the parties, honestly, with the black folks. I didn't really know how to dance at that time. I'm doing a little better now. But I always had more fun at the parties, had more friends at these parties. And so I would go, and everybody would be dancing to Experience Unlimited EU and Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers DC vibe. And I would be standing on the side just going, trying to look my best. And I just figured that's how I was going to be at this church picnic. I'm just going to be trying to look my best and let the time pass and the kids have fun and I'm out. So I sent my daughter and sent my son off to find some friends. And meanwhile, my daughter goes to the drink table at this church picnic. You ever been to a drink table at a church picnic? You got root beer, you got Sprite, you got cola. Usually it's the thrift store cola, not the real Coca-Cola. My daughter looks up at this girl and says, "Have you met my dad yet?" And the girl replies, "No, I don't believe I have. But I have a feeling I'm going to." My daughter found Jolene at the drink table of a church picnic. She told us later she was looking for the prettiest girl she could find that didn't have a ring on. Because she knew that her dad needed a wife. And of course, she needed a mom. And so Jolene came over and we started talking with a mutual friend, and I got invited to Jolene's house for a prayer meeting. The church prayer meeting was at this. And trust me, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? And we got to know each other by praying together. And one day I was inspired to ask Jolene out. And we actually started dating. And this was really new for me. Recently divorced, freaked out about this whole thing. I really had just planned on spending a couple of years in a nunnery, or, you know, male version of that, not dating or anything. Because once you've been through this kind of thing, you know, trust issues are big. How many of you have noticed that God's been confronting your trust issues recently? So I asked her out on a date. In the first conversation we had at TGI Fridays, I told her all the reasons why she shouldn't marry me. So there's a lot of warfare that I've been through, and some of it, you know, I said, I don't really have much in the form of physical property, but I own the nation because I'm in covenant with God for this nation, of America. And I can't offer you much, but if you're interested. And Jolene smiled back and she said, I really am.
It was a miracle.
Inwardly, I'm thinking the way Martin thought about his relationship with Cindy. I'm thinking, Jolene, you're kind of crazy, but if you really think so, let's just explore this a while. So we kept our dating very covert. I mean, after I put the kids to bed, I would sneak out. I mean, I used to sneak out on occasion from my parents. Don't do that. Don't try that at home. I used to sneak out at night. And now here I am, you know, sneaking out from my kids because I wanted to protect their hearts. And so we had an amazing, amazing relationship. I was falling head over heels. Well, there was this one prayer meeting where I brought the kids along, and, you know, in the time where we all eat chocolate chip cookies in the middle of the prayer meeting, you know what I'm talking about, Christian culture. My daughter crawled up on Jolene's lap and said, she's my mom in the spirit. And the reaction was just like your reaction. What? And this is a group of prophetic intercessors. They caught on real quick. And Jolene was a poster child for singlehood. And so I took my most precious, well, when my daughter Ashley said that, I asked internally, I said, Lord, is this true? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, I desire that Jolene be your wife for life. Your wife for life. So I ran back to my home. I got my most precious commodity, which at that time was a prayer shawl that had come from Israel. And I got down on one knee and I asked for my wife's hand in marriage. Thank God she said yes. And then she said, well, I've got a gift for you. And she takes this ring off of her finger. It is a ring that she purchased 7 years beforehand. When she was praying for a husband, she thought she was going to marry some football player. And so she went to the jewelry store to buy a ring in faith for him. They didn't have a ring his size. He was 6'12" too. But they did have this ring, and so she decided to purchase this ring for herself, representing her covenant to Christ as a bridegroom and her separation for the husband that the Lord had for her. And when she took this ring off and put it on my fingers, it fit perfectly. We immediately began talking about marriage dates. And with all the stuff Jolene had been through and all the stuff that I had been through, we figured a year or two. But Jolene happened to mention that she had had a dream 7 years beforehand around the time that this ring got on her finger. And in this dream, she received an invitation to her own wedding. Who receives an invitation in a dream to their own wedding? She couldn't remember the name of the groom. I mean, that would be an important thing to remember, right? She saw this envelope on the table, and it had the invitation in it, and she couldn't see the name of the groom. She couldn't see the date of the year. She couldn't see the location as where. The only thing she could see is December 20th. And so when she told me about this, I'm like, well, we ought to get married on December 20th. Well, it was a month and a half away. So obviously December 20th, 2003 was way too early to plan a wedding. So we figured December 20th, 2004. And I looked at December 20th, 2004, and it was like a Monday. That wouldn't work for a wedding. And I went progressively to like 2010 or something like that. And 2010 was the first date where there was a Saturday for a wedding. The only Saturday that was available for a wedding was a month and a half away. Now, I've got trust issues. Jolene had trust issues too. We had gotten together and gotten engaged, but we figured we would grow together for a year before tying the knot. And then I did a little research and discovered December 20th, of 2003 happened to be the first day of Hanukkah. How many of you have heard of the Jewish holiday Hanukkah? Commemorating a day when spiritual revolutionaries rose up against the extraordinary subjugation of Greece and Syria. They had banded together and had taken Israel captive, and they had actually taken the temple, which was a temple on the Temple Mount, just for your geographic reasoning, and they had literally dedicated the temple of God to Baal. The Grecian form of Baal is Zeus. The Syrian form of Zeus is Baal. They dedicated the temple of the living God to Zeus and even sacrificed a pig on December 25th to consecrate the temple to Baal instead of to the Lord. And these spiritual revolutionaries rose up to take back their covenantal heritage. They risked it all, broke through the lines of the strongest army in probably the world at the time, to take back their desolate heritage and restore it in covenant with the Lord. And they relit the menorah that was on the altar to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord after it had been defiled. The Maccabees. They restored covenant by relighting the lamp. And as my ministry was called Lamplighter, I felt very much like I had been in a defiled in the same way that the temple of God had been defiled. And I realized the Lord was saying something here, that he wanted us to take a step of faith and actually get married in a month and a half on the first day of Hanukkah. And that was just like ridiculous to me, right? But sometimes your miracle requires that you take a step of faith that literally openly defies the trust issues that have defined your former season. Sometimes you have to let go of what is past in order to receive the present and step into a brighter future. That may even include letting go of relationships that have become covenantally defiled. So we decided to get married in a month and a half. And because it was the first day of Hanukkah, we ordered a menorah from Jerusalem, and we decided to make the menorah from Jerusalem the centerpiece of our wedding. We were going to light the center candle of the menorah, actually the Hanukkah. It's a menorah with nine branches instead of seven. We were going to light it on the first day of Hanukkah with as a symbol of God bringing us into covenant together. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Lamplighter. We light the lamp together. Center candle of the menorah on the first day of Hanukkah. That's our unity candle. Well, and as we were worshiping the Lord, singing glory, glory, send your glory, my glorious. My best man, Will Ford, 6'12", former basketball player, college player, nudges me. And I ignore him. So he nudges me again. This time it kind of took my breath away. And I'm like, Will, I'm worshiping. I look over at Will Ford, and tears are streaming down his face. And he points to the menorah that we were going to use for our unity candle, and that unity candle had lit itself in front of everybody as we were singing, glory, glory, send your glory, my glorious. You can't make this stuff up. Fire is a symbol of covenant from the time that Abraham cut the sacrifice in two, and God came down with a smoking fire pot and a burning lamp and confirmed his covenant. You remember in the days of David when he sinned before the Lord and he stood up to number Israel, and the Satan provoked him to do so, and then an angel of the Lord came and had slain people throughout all of Israel, came to Jerusalem, was about to slay Jerusalem. His sword was outstretched to take out God's covenant people. David cried out to the Lord, have mercy on these people. Let your hand be upon me, because it was actually my sin that provoked all this. And David was instructed to build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And when he did, the fire of God came down. And it became a sign that covenant with God had been restored. You remember Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal. Lord, send your fire that this people may know that you are the Lord and you've restored their hearts back to you. The fire came down. So whenever you see fire in the Bible, it is a symbol of God's covenant and his covenant love. Set me as a seal upon your arm and as a seal upon your heart. For love is as strong as death. It's passion as ardent as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. And on Hanukkah, the first day of Hanukkah, as we were getting married, coming into covenant, consecrating our desolate sanctuaries to the Lord and in him to each other, God came with fire. And that miracle has come to define both our relationship and our ministry. It was very interesting. We had the honor of rededicating ourselves to the Lord and to each other in a marriage ceremony this Hanukkah at the Museum of the Bible, culminating an extraordinary journey of prayer and reconsecration, declaring that the covenant of God with the United States of America has been restored. We are at America's Ark of the Covenant, and you guys helped us to secure that building so that we could actually have this covenant rededication ceremony, honoring the covenant of God that he established between Jolene and me and that he established with this nation. I want to just spend a few minutes right now, and we'll finish up by prophesying over some of you. But I want to just share what I believe to be a word from the Lord directly from the throne of God to this house, directly to the throne of God for you. You are in a season right now of reconsecration to the Lord, and you are going to find as you step out of the old and into the new and rededicate yourselves for this hour of history, you are going to find fresh fire on the altar of your hearts and fresh fire on the altar of this Hope House of Prayer. Hallelujah. He's going to come with Holy Spirit fire. Fire is going to join heaven and earth together. And you're going to see what I am calling a burning lamp awakening. Yes, Lord. Now, most of our journey that I just shared with you is also in the pages of this book, as is this prophetic word about a burning lamp awakening. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Everybody doing okay? God has a new beginning for you. And if you found and established your new beginning upon the altar of covenant with him, there is nothing that he is going to withhold from you. Beloved, I can stand with you and declare God's turnaround for the nation, for Indiana, for the house of prayer here, for each one of your lives individually with authenticity because the Lord has brought me into a turnaround that literally redefined my world. Everything I thought I had lost, God had a double portion for me. I just had to let go of the past in order to receive his future, his destiny for me. Is that okay to say? And beloved, this is coming as a verdict from heaven's court. Judgment rendered in your favor. So let's take a look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps. They went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now when the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and they began to sleep. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, he's coming, rise up to meet him." And all the virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Let's break this parable down because when I started writing a simple email posting to send out to the folks on the Lamplighter list, by the way, if you're not on the list, I encourage you to get on. We share prophetic insights and prayer points from Washington, D.C., that quite literally the Lord is using to shift us into a new future. But I sat down to write a posting on this, and the Holy Spirit, by the time I was done, gave me a book in a month on the midnight cry. The midnight cry. First of all, you can see that there is a midnight crisis, and this midnight crisis is predicated on the fact that the bridegroom at least appeared to be delaying. He was delaying. He was holding back his fullness in the midst of challenges. And in the midst of the challenges, the bride loses her focus on the bridegroom and literally begins to fall asleep. I believe that's parabolic more than it is just it's time to go to bed, let's go to sleep. I believe the bride internally falls asleep to the things of God. Kind of just gives up. Goes through the motions, but doesn't realize her heart is no more connected genuinely to him. She falls asleep because of the pressures. The Holy Spirit spoke to us that the years between 2018 and 2020, we are going to experience some of the challenges in seed form that our offspring probably will encounter in a much greater level in what is literally the end of the end of days, predicated upon Jesus Christ's return. It's like a dress rehearsal. There's a midnight crisis which provokes the vast majority of the body of Christ to fall asleep. There's only a few that remain in the house of prayer keeping watch. They're awake at midnight when everybody else is slumbering. And they're interceding for the midnight crisis to be turned. And they get a signal at midnight that indeed it is time for a new move of God. And these midnight watchmen become midnight riders that make the announcement, "Behold the bridegroom, he's coming, rise up to meet him." Now you may not be part of those midnight riders who are called by God to go before the broader body of Christ as forerunners and prepare the way of the Lord. But if you are, when everybody else is slumbering, even tonight, keep watch. Dedicate yourself to keeping watch for the bridegroom. Dedicate yourselves to the intensity of lifestyle that brings the intensity of God's hand and answers into your life, and not just to you, but through you. Be a watchman in the midnight hour. And this, my friends, is a midnight hour of history. It may not be the midnight hour of history, but we are 20 seconds away from extraordinary challenges blowing up and causing our world to spiral. What we're called to do right now is to hold some of that spiraling back. But God is calling you to rededicate yourself to the beauty and the discipline of prayer. Now, this is something that is really, really important. Because in 2016, I saw a lot of lamps go out, and my lamp nearly went out. Most of you know that I had a prophetic experience in January 2016 where I had a dream where Donald Trump had won the contract to restore the Department of Homeland Security. And I saw as I kept watching, he went to a dilapidated portion of the campus and restored that dilapidated portion. And meanwhile, all these black women and Hispanic women were coming in, shouting praises to the Lord through the gates of Homeland Security. And I kept hearing Donald Trump saying, you're hired in the dream. They were coming in worshiping the Lord because they were repopulating governmental offices as Christians being hired where they were ostracized before. And I knew it had to do with Christians coming back into government. I also knew that some of the portions of our communities who have struggled the hardest are going to be blessed the most in this season. Donald Trump then comes walking behind this procession of women shouting praises to the Lord. And he looks at me. And I say to him, "Sir, you must restore Christmas." And then I wake up. Now that's a weird dream, isn't it? That was January 5th, 2016. Donald Trump was just a face in the crowd. We embarked on a 50-state tour, which we called the Turnaround Tour, the Glory Train Turnaround Tour, going to all 50 states and declaring what we declared to you this past week, that the Lord has rendered judgment in your favor. The stake is in the ground, and you are going to be released into a turnaround. His covenant with Christ is restored. Governmentally, he is bringing a turnaround, deliverance from the hand of every adversary. A new chapter is beginning. And I'll tell you, that word and journey has proven more true than I could have possibly understood. I ended up being invited, Jolene and I ended up in 2017 being invited to several meetings at the White House and got caught up in a lot of exciting things with the State Department and a lot of prayer for the Trump administration, a lot of prayer especially for the National Security Council, and then for the State Department. Too much to go into, but it just seemed like our lives became consumed with a focus on the political challenges and the supernatural challenges that were being faced down by this administration, including the internal challenges. And so, as I went through this year, 2017, it was an exhilarating year, but I found that my lamp had grown severely dim because of all the circumstances. I was falling asleep spiritually. My friend Mario Bramnick was used by the Lord to get me out of this stupor. He had been listening to the voice of the Lord. He was going in and out of the White House himself. We would go in together and have these faith liaison meetings. And he stood at our window looking out over the White House and began to weep and humble himself because of how his identity had become tied to the fact that he was going in and out of the White House. And I was crying out to God too, because I was experiencing that same thing. And I didn't want either the blessings or the challenges to define my identity. Martin had taught me that. And he began to repent for the White House, for any pride that was in the leadership of the White House. And he began to prophesy about how God was even using challenging circumstances to provoke a cry from the White House that would be heard by God and literally would be responded to by the Spirit of God. And it would even unlock a new prayer movement in this nation. Later on, he was so gripped by this, he called me on the phone and he said, "John, I even have heard this thing about Paul Revere. Do you know anything about Paul Revere and the Midnight Cry?" This is a Hispanic pastor from Fort Lauderdale asking me if I know about the Midnight Cry. And my first kind of angry response was, "I gave you the book Crown and Throne, and it's in there. Didn't you read it?" And then I really began to seek God as to why a Hispanic pastor from Fort Lauderdale would be full of revelation about the Midnight Cry when my own heart was a lamp that had grown so dim that I could barely see Jesus. I could see all the challenges, but I couldn't intuitively in my spirit see Jesus anymore. And the Lord began to speak to me again that while the bridegroom was delaying and has answered, many fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, he's coming, rise up to meet him." And what did the bride do at that point? She rose up and she lit her lamp, which had gone out. She lit her lamp of passion. She lit her lamp of covenant. She stirred up the gift of passionate love that was within her. It was just dormant. And she went out at midnight to meet the bridegroom. The Lord began to speak to me that I had neglected my first love devotion to Jesus alone. With all of the challenges that were before us and all of the opportunities before us, I had put down the lamp of my first love. Jesus says, "You repent and do the works that you did at first, or I'm going to remove your lampstand from its place." Return to first love devotion to Jesus. Many of us are on the precipice of burnout right now. I'm telling you, your lamp can burn bright again. Return your gaze to the Lamb of God. If your eyes are single, your body will be full of light. It's time that we recapture a burning focus on the heart of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. The understanding and revelation of Jesus as a bridegroom for his bride. And beloved, the Lord spoke to me that for 2018, just as the bride rose at midnight and trimmed her lamp, there is going to be a burning lamp awakening at the midnight hour as we restore this focus on Jesus, to gaze on his beauty, see him as he is. Rediscover intimacy with the Lamb. Now, I'm not saying that I'm there right now, fully there, but I'm getting there. It's time for us to return to first love devotion to Jesus, our bridegroom. Is this okay? Second thing that the Lord is encouraging us is to get rid of our religiosity. He spoke to me about a midnight cry. Our midnight cry as the watchmen awake at the midnight hour, crying out in the midst of our challenges, being real with God and honest with God, is the basis for God to come in real time into your real world and bring a real time, real world deliverance. Turnaround. A midnight cry. Remember in the book of Exodus, God heard the groanings of their people. He heard the groanings of his people, not the theological discussions about the end times that everybody understood. No, he heard the groanings of his people, the cries. The Lord wants an authentic cry to arise from his houses of prayer. Yes, The flow of worship and intercession together is absolutely vital. But there's going to be times when you're just going to drop everything, get on your faces and cry out to the Lord and travail before the throne of God until he brings a tangible sense of breakthrough. This is a year of the midnight cry. Let's go down the list here. There's a midnight crisis. causes most of the body to fall asleep, but there's a few watchmen awake at midnight. There's a midnight watch. And there's a midnight cry in that midnight watch that provokes God to unleash a midnight turnaround. The ultimate expression of this is the move of the Spirit of God, the move of the Word of God, when Jesus himself cracks the sky, comes down, takes out the Antichrist spirit that's trying to subjugate humanity. And that revolution on the Temple Mount is also the beginning of this wedding. Because the midnight cry is ultimately a summons to a wedding. The bride awakens, tends her lamps as the midnight riders are released. And she goes out to meet the bridegroom. Where is she going? She's going to a wedding. A destination wedding, as we said last night, Jerusalem. Isaiah 4 prophesies that that God's going to have a bridal canopy over Mount Zion. Just as the bridal canopy, the tallit that I gave my wife Jolene, he's going to have a tallit, a bridal canopy in large form. The glory of God's going to be a bridal canopy over Zion and all of her assemblies. We're going to be invited to this reunion where we're joined with the Lord and in him joined with each other. And we're getting a dress rehearsal for this wedding in this hour of history. I don't believe it's any coincidence. I think it's tomorrow. England's going to have a pretty big wedding. Isn't that right? And it also happens to be Pentecost this weekend. So there is a midnight crisis, a midnight watch, midnight revelation, bringing a midnight turnaround, releasing midnight riders who bring a midnight awakening, a burning lamp awakening, where all of a sudden the darkened streets light up with the fire of the bridegroom and the fire of the bride. And they find each other in the streets as they make their journey to the wedding feast. Note that only 5 of the 10 virgins make it into the wedding feast. 5 of them were foolish. They didn't take time to invest in oil while they had the opportunity. So instead, they were going to the gas station to try and get some oil to keep their lamps burning while the bridal party went in. And the door was shut. It's really wise for you to invest in the oil of intimacy right now. And it's wise for you to invest in the perpetual flow of provision right now, even in the natural, that will sustain you through the midnight hour. I want our lamp to blaze. It's very interesting that the Hebrew year is 5778. 8 is the Hebrew word picture, chet. And it's pictured with a column on one side, a vav, and a column on the other side, a crowned vav. And it is connected at top in a way that makes a door or a bridal canopy. This is the year of the door. There is a door open in the spirit realm and in the natural, a limited window of opportunity for you to access and step into your destiny. But that door can shut, and you can find yourself on the other side. Doesn't mean that you're not saved, but it also doesn't mean that you are going to experience the fullness of what the Lord intended for you. Buy oil. Keep watch. Keep your heart awake. And when you find other things overtaking your heart and your lamp is growing dim, redirect your focus on first love devotion to Jesus. Spend your time in worship. Call your human spirit to be awakened and alive and joined in union with the Lord. Jesus said that those who seek him diligently will find him. Let me tell you a story about the Midnight Riders. My friend Jamie Jackson from Brunswick, Georgia, he's a pastor there. He was doing a funeral. Guy in his congregation got saved 2 weeks before he died. He died in glory. And he and another pastor were sharing the service. So he had done his portion. He sat down. The other pastor got up to share, and as he sat down back in his seat, all of a sudden the heavens opened. And he looked and watched as this gentleman stepped through the gates of heaven and was welcomed by his family and friends and by Jesus. And he continued to keep watch over the gates of heaven. And all of a sudden, these horses appeared at the gate. White horses, white steeds, muscular, full of strength, full of what seemed to be fire. And they were bucking at the gates, just like in the Kentucky Derby. You see these horses and riders, and they're just bursting to get out the gate. You know what I'm talking about? Well, this is how the horses were back in 2015. And he heard the Holy Spirit say that heaven is just about ready to ride. And the horses of God were going to be released. I thought you'd be a little more excited about that. Do you understand the season that you're in? Heaven and earth are being joined together. The army of God is being joined with the army of man. There's about to be a midnight ride that's going to bring a midnight awakening. Behold, the bridegroom, he's coming. Rise up to meet him. Yes. That's really good advice for us all. John, are you saying that the end times are at hand? No, I believe we still have some time. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. But I do believe that a move of the Spirit of God unto national awakening and global awakening at an accelerated rate that we've never seen before is now at hand. And it's no time to fall asleep if you're called to be an awakener. Take a power nap. Get back up and take your place on the wall. We need you. Close with a brief note on the miracle of Hanukkah. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. Where is the book of Zechariah chapter 4? It's right after Zechariah 3, right before Zechariah 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. Okay. Just going to read this passage. Then the angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who was awakened from his slumber. He said to me, what do you see? And I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with its bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on its top and also two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side. And I said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. And he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the king, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The mountains are going to come down with shouts of grace. And the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands are going to finish it. And the lampstand became a sign that what God had started regarding the house of prayer movement, he was going to bring to culmination. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, let's pick this apart for just a moment. Notice that the prophet Zechariah was visited by an angel of the Lord who awakened him. This angel had been speaking promises to Zechariah in a former season, and he returned and he roused Zechariah from his slumber. He awakened Zechariah. The angel of the Lord awakened the prophet and even awakened the promises that God had given the prophet through this angel in a former season. Because it was now time to rise up and build to complete the vision that had been spoken of in a former season. Are you following me here? And I just believe that is what God is saying even to this house. I believe that we are here as a witness of the burning lamp. That is not by might. It is not by power, but it is by my spirit. And if you will lean into the spirit of God, you will see the building expression of the temple of God he has called you to join together and establish, you will see it come to completion. So that you may be a burning lamp to this nation and to the nations. Are we doing okay? Covering a lot of ground here. So the Maccabee miracle was this. Judah Maccabee and his spiritual revolutionaries broke through the strongest army in known history to take back the temple. They relit the menorah to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord. Just as Gideon established the altar of the Lord, tore down the altar of Baal, they did the same thing in the temple. They chased out Baal, welcomed in God, and established again covenant between God and his people in the temple. We good here? The only problem is they only had enough oil for one day. What are you going to do? You ever had this experience where you break through and there's a season of advancement that comes to a screeching halt and generally the issue is provision? I mean, we're facing some of this right now with some of the things the Lord's called us to do in Washington, D.C., and we keep getting prophetic words about a house of prayer and apostolic community in Washington, D.C. We keep getting words about an administrator. And in the natural, it's like, well, Lord, how are you going to do this? And I've really had to lean on this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Here's what I believe happened. Let me find it here. I want to get this right. I can imagine that an angel of the Lord at Judah Maccabee's time of crisis just tapped him on the shoulder and said, listen, here's what's going to happen to you. Kind of an unperceived whisper that became interpreted as a very insightful thought. Judah, remember the burning menorah of Zechariah 4? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, I kind of believe that the prophet Zechariah just became awakened to this. I believe that Judah Maccabee became awakened to this passage of Scripture. And literally, he began to read that passage of Scripture, and he saw that there's going to be a lampstand, and that there's going to be a perpetual flow of provision. An oil, an olive tree to the left and an olive tree to the right that continues to feed the oil miraculously into the menorah so that it can burn 24/7, so that the fire on the altar may never go out. A perpetual flow of provision. I believe the Lord said to Judah Maccabee something like, you just step into this, Judah. You step into this, and I'm going to be with you. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. There was only enough oil for one day, but that lamp continued to burn for 8 days straight until they could get fresh oil in. I believe that as you reconsecrate yourself to the Lord, marry the Lord afresh, marry this movement afresh to the Lord, let go of the past, embrace the extraordinary future the Lord has intended for you, personally and even corporately. Hold out that burning lamp and dare God to move by His Spirit to keep the oil flowing so that the lamp of worship and intercession can be established perpetually. I believe you are going to see a miracle like Judah Maccabee. You're going to see heaven come to earth. You're going to see the pipelines of provision aligned so that your fire will not go out, and in your moment of breakthrough, you're not going to be wandering the streets looking for a gas station when the bridal party is about to begin. And you're going to look back at this season of history and see how wise it was of the Lord to take you through this narrow passage and teach you the lessons that He has taught you in the midst, so that in the end, your reliance will be on Him and His wisdom, and not yourselves. So let's rededicate ourselves to first love devotion to Jesus. And let's dare to believe God that the fire He has kindled here will grow and burn perpetually, and the provision in the spirit and in the natural will be here to establish this lampstand for His glory. Here's my translation of Zechariah 4. I am awakening you, and I am showing the burning lamp to you as a sign that the temple will indeed be restored. By this you will complete the dream I have given to you, even in a former season. But the fire you see burning on the menorah does not require natural oil, Zechariah. My anointing pours into this lamp night and day. The might of armies cannot ignite its flame, nor can their supposed power quench it. My temple will be redeemed, and it will be finished in context with this burning lamp. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Stand to your feet. And just as a sign that you have received this as a word from the Lord, let's declare together, not by might,
not by power,
not by power,
but by my spirit,
says the Lord of hosts. No king but Jesus. Amen. Well, if you'll take your seats, I have just a few other things to share, a prophetic word for this woman wearing the purple beret back here. What is your name?
Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie. I keep hearing the Holy Spirit saying, Holy Spirit diplomat, and that God has put in you a heart of a peacemaker. And in context with being a peacemaker, he has excelled you as a diplomat. And he's going to open doors of diplomacy for you, both in the body of Christ and in the nations of the earth. Your season has just begun. And watch how the Lord begins to open these doors beginning in September in a whole new way. Doors of diplomacy will open for you. I also feel like this house, part of the calling of this house, is to be a house of diplomacy. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. There's something about diplomacy that's very key to this house. Joe, I feel again for you that God has brought you through a season. What I saw was a Bunsen burner. You know, like kids used to do science experiments with a Bunsen burner, and you were kind of just experimenting with the Bunsen burner. And you kind of like got this Einstein thing going where you see and you hear and you invent things, and it's extraordinary. And you've been in a season where you've been hidden away in your lab just inventing things. And you don't really have the wherewithal yet, the understanding on how to present what you have perceived. And God's going to give you that capacity to present well the new inventions that are going to help to redefine our world. I want to encourage you to review the prophetic words that have been entrusted to you throughout this week here by Martin and Cindy, by Jolene and myself. The word about beauty realm breakers is vital. It's absolutely vital for you. The word about a move of deliverance, absolutely vital for you. And the word about a burning lamp awakening is absolutely for the state of Indiana to take the lead in and help lead the nation in this. Your name is Daniel, is that correct? What is your name again? Daniel, good. I didn't get that prophetically, I got that by memory. Stand up. You have a governmental anointing on you. It is evident every time that you pray. And there's government that walks into the house of God. And you're going to find that government is even going to be planted more and more in the house of God. And there's a scepter of God's authority that he has entrusted to you. He's been calling you in a hidden place like Daniel for fasting and prayer and seeking his face. And the Lord's going to open up the scrolls of Daniel in a way that have not even been open to you in times past. But you're going to be a carrier of revelation with a breaker anointing that even extends this scepter from here to Washington, D.C., and even to Jerusalem. That's the word of the Lord to you. Another final word for this house, Hoosier. Hosea. Hoosier, Hosea. It's time to contend for Hosea's bride again. It's time to contend for Hosea's children again. And the Lord is going to make this place a door of hope. Healing and deliverance from generational bondage is a seed that was planted in the soil of this house. It was sown in challenges and in corruption, but it is going to be raised by the Lord as an incorruptible seed and an ever-present witness of His goodness in the house of the Lord. Guys, I have a word for you two that I do feel like there's a Shabbat for your land. And it's not that the land won't be cultivated in due time. It's going to be cultivated, but there's a shift for you and a shift in your assignment for that Shabbat to just really begin to cultivate the prayer expression where you are in prayer expression in this house. And it's not letting go of the dream, it's giving the land rest. And it's only for a season. I saw while I was praying for you guys, I saw vineyards. I don't know if it's possible to grow vineyards here, but I know that the Lord promised to restore the vineyards to Hosea's bride and then open the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And I know also that there's a cleansed portal in this house now, and there's a cleansed portal where you are because of your efforts. But it's just like Abraham, after Lot left, that was when Abraham was released into his promised land. Now watch how in this season the Lord begins to define your promised land and redefine the assignment that He has given to you in this season. Jenna, the Lord is calling you forth. He has cultivated you as a governmental intercessor, and I see the Lord adding authority to your voice in the prophetic. Stand up. I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, tear down, throw down, destroy, to build and plant. The Lord says, I am seeding my word into your mouth now, now, now. It's a day of promotion for you into this authority, this grace that will be sustained by my Spirit alone. You are called by God and you're coming forth and shifting from being a governmental intercessor to a governmental prophet. How are we doing? I haven't met your friends. Hi, I'm John. What's your name? Hey, Kenny. Emily, well, bless you guys. Thank you for coming tonight. I've seen a mantle over you of glory that has bound you together in an extraordinary intimacy that is very few marriages actually attain this intimacy and this joy and delight that you have in each other. And I see the Lord's hand of protection on you. I don't know. Obviously, you have an Asian heritage, but I feel like there's connections in Asia for you that literally bring strength and vitality and enrichment to the body of Christ. And it's like you're a bridge builder between Asia and here. And you're going to see doors open, open, open between Asia and here. And it's going to be one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit diplomacy that He's establishing here. Hope that makes some sense. She mentors
Japanese ladies that are here for Toyota.
Of course you do. Well, it only makes sense. That's great to know. Awesome. All right. Once again, we could go all night because, again, I really don't get started till midnight. But I know some of you are getting drowsy, and I don't want to get you asleep before And these books, by the way, are available outside. I want to seed these into the lives. Yeah, I want to seed this into your life. What is your name again? Yeah, you.
Stephanie.
Stephanie, the Holy Spirit diplomat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Midnight Cry. And I just loved your worship yesterday, so I want to give this to you, Crown and Throne, a field guide to spiritual revolution. Can you stand to your feet one more time? Let's just declare again, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, no king but Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your hospitality. We love you.
The Lord be with you. Amen.
I love you. Oh, well, that was an amazing culmination to our week together, and I am thankful for the continued guidance of the words of the Lord to us individually and corporately together. So thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Well, once again, there is fellowship at our home tomorrow at 12:30. You can find that location if you're interested from us. I just want to pray once again to kind of close things up. Lord, we receive the word that was brought to us. We receive the words that were spoken here. We receive the wisdom, the discernment, the understanding. We receive the deep things. And Lord, those things that you have not completely revealed to us at this point, God, I pray that you continue to bring understanding, continue to bring the revelation into our hearts, God, that you would water the seed that has been planted, and that you would shine the sun upon it, and that it would grow and bear fruit in each of our lives. We receive that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go in peace. We love you all.